all 10 of the 10 commandments. So Jesus goes, and we talked about it, he starts talking about the law. Why? Because he was living in that season. He was also talking to disciples who were under the law. So I am so glad. I don't have to know all 600 and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we did say that the law, we don't live under the law, but the law is good. The law actually gives us parameters, boundaries on how we walk in life. So the law is good. But, I always like the but with the finger up here, but, my kids say, Mom, you point that finger a lot. I go, I know. Miss Heather, when you're a mama, we do this a lot. So, but the law, we don't get legalistic, but the law will help us walk in the ways that God has. So the law, the old covenant, still is good. So that was last week, all right? And today we're going to do part two of how to be great in God's kingdom, part two. So if you're taking notes, part two, and it's simply called How to Treat Other People. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm going to learn how to treat other people. How to treat other people. And listen, the whole thing, and this kind of blew me away. So we had the old covenant and all those laws, 600 blah, blah, blah laws. And Jesus comes along and he says, I'm going to raise the standard higher. I'm going to raise the bar. So we're going to learn how Jesus raised the bar for us to walk and how to treat other people. How many of you, since you've been a believer, you've just dealt with some people and you're like, oh my golly, anybody? Some of you just made it in the door saying that, oh my golly, all right? So probably the biggest thing that we have since I became a believer is learning how to treat people the way Jesus wants me. And then I'm like, are you sure? Because, you know, because here's the thing. Jesus tells us that we have, since I'm a believer, since I asked Jesus Christ in my life, since I'm a believer, there's a certain way I should treat people, all right? There's a certain way I should treat people, and that's called walking in love, right? That's what the New Testament says. How many of you just scored 10 just getting here today in walking in love? How about 9 points, 8 points, 5 points, okay? Some days it's hard to walk in love. It is. It really is. So we're going to talk about how to treat people when they treat you badly. How to treat people when they treat you badly, okay? And you know, there used to be an old song, put a smile on your face and love your brother or something like that. We're supposed to love our brothers when they treat us badly. And here's the crazy thing. We'll get to it later, but in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus raises the bar, and he says, if somebody smacks you in the face, turn and give them the other side. I don't know about you, but I wasn't raised to do that. No, some of you weren't raised to do that. Somebody punches you, just give them the other side? No, so we're going to learn how to treat other people. Praise God. All right, so let's talk about this. Open up to Matthew chapter 20, chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21. You can get your phones out if you promise not to get lost. Okay? If not, your Bible is just this incredible thing, or they'll put it on the screen. Okay, y'all at Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, say, I'm here. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. This is Jesus talking. You have heard it said to those, excuse me, you have heard that it was said to those of old, right? And last week we talked about that, where Jesus said, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant says this, this, and this, but I say, and he's going to raise the bar, but I say you're going to do something different, okay? So you have heard it said to those of old, you shall not murder. By the way, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I do remember that one. You shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. All right, verse 20, the next verse, verse 22, and this is Jesus. But I say, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, you shall be in danger of judgment. Oh, okay. So it's real interesting as we go through these, there's consequences if you do this stuff. The consequences that he lists are under the old covenant, okay? And we'll read them, like judgment, counsel, hell, fire, and stuff like this. So there's consequences. Now, we live under the New Testament, and there's still some consequences, but not like that. All right, verse 22, let's finish reading it. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, I'm sure somebody said that on the way to church. You Raca, anybody? No, you didn't. Okay, you didn't. Good, good. Okay, because we're going to find out what that means. Whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, fool, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Wow, wow. So everything we just talked about, all these things, is referring to the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the old laws, okay? Now, they're there for a reason, and we're going to look what Jesus says, why they're there, and how certain parts of this, how they apply to us, because he's going to raise the bar. All right. Let's jump back to, okay. Verse 23, keep moving. Verse 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, so back in the day, you had to bring your lamb to the altar that you were going to kill, right? Okay. So, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there at the altar, you remember that your brother has something against you, all right? So, now it's interesting. This is Old Covenant, Old Testament. You were to bring your gift to the altar, and all of a sudden you remember, oh, my brother has something against me, okay? And Jesus is going to tell us, get it straight, get it right with him, all right? So, really, the whole idea of these verses here is Jesus is going to talk about murder and anger. And murder and anger in the new covenant. And he's going to tell you, everybody just get ready, put your seatbelts on, hide your toes, just fake a smile. He's going to say, if you have anger, it's as bad as murder. Okay. Now. Alrighty, here we go. Now, some of you might be here today, like, Pastor D, I'm good. I do not have an anger problem. Okay, maybe you have a Raca problem. Maybe you have a problem calling people, you fool. None of you have ever done that, all right? So we're going to go through those, and we're going to see what Jesus has to say about anger, Raca, and you fool, all right? Now, interesting, Bible scholars, psychologists, counselors all say this. Ready? Here we go. Anger is the starting point of murder. Anger is the starting point to murder. All right. Now, again, you might think, I'm not murdering anybody. Thank you. I am feeling really good to be here today. No murderers allowed. This is great, okay? But you might be calling somebody Raca or you fool, and Jesus says, as a believer, you ought not to do that. So we're going to talk about that. So open up or flip over to, well, you are in Matthew chapter 5. Let's go back to verse 21. Matthew 5:21. You have heard it said, to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. Okay, guess what murder means? To kill someone, okay? Really hard. To kill someone. And in Proverbs, Proverbs 6:17, it says, hands that shed blood. So we have murder here. In other words, you murder someone because they just made you so mad, you go out and you murder them, right? It's to murder, all right? So the interesting thing is killing in the Old Testament is different than murder. Killing is different than murder. Okay, the first murder that's recorded in the Bible is Cain. Yeah, Abel's the bad, got killed. Okay. Cain goes and kills his brother. That is the first murder. Now, that should not have happened, okay? So that's the first murder. But listen, did you know this in the Old Testament? If you were caught in the act of adultery, do I have to give an explanation? Please don't. If you were caught in the act of adultery, they would haul you out of the city, like take you down to the square of York City, and you'd all pick up your stones and you would stone the person to death. You would stone them till they're dead. Under the old covenant, that wasn't murder. That was just killing. Everybody go like this? Nobody looking at me like, Pastor? No, that's how they looked at it, the old covenant. And Jesus is going to raise the bar. Okay, so just, okay. So right now, we're talking about murder, killing, and Jesus is going to talk about the inward stuff, what goes on here. And he's going to say, anger in here is like murder. Everybody pat your belly. Yeah, anger in here. All right. So Matthew 5:22, let me go read this again. I only have 16 scriptures today. Just thought I'd tell you. You should write them down. They're all good. They're from the Bible. I didn't write them, all right? All right, Matthew 5:22. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. So follow me. It sounds like you could have a reason to kill somebody. It sounds like you could have a cause. You could have a cause and it would be okay. It sounds like that. But listen, I looked this up in three different places because I was like, what? Because this is written in my Bible. But in the Greek language, the Greek Bible scholars, which I do not speak Greek, forget it, but I got all these books, they say in the original Greek, that without cause wasn't there. That it didn't say you could have a reason and it would be okay. It didn't say that in the original. Somebody just added it. All right, but here's the deal. You cannot have anger against your brother or sister. I don't care if you think you have a reason. It's you cannot have anger against your brother, period. Everybody say period. Okay. So Jesus then takes it to a whole nother level, and he talks about murder. Check, we're not going to do that. And then he says, you know, this anger thing, whenever you're angry at anybody, let me just say this, you are angry, you are fuming at somebody, usually end up by murdering them with your mouth. Been there, done it. You are so angry, you murder them with your mouth, with your words, all right? And we're going to talk a lot about that later. So let's talk about anger. So some of you go, Pastor D, I don't have an anger problem. I have not been through anger management. I do not. Yeah, but some of you blame, I'm Italian, you know, you know, I'm from the mafia. We got anger. So I'm not Italian, I'm Irish, and we get angry. So we blame. Some of you are like, oh, no, you don't, but we blame. But here's the thing. All of us will deal with anger. If not, you're in heaven. Where are your feet today? Here. So I'm telling you, all of us get to deal with anger, all right? Now, let me tell you a story. I've got two stories. Everybody deals with anger. Do you know that person? You know that person that they're angry all the time? Like, they're angry because it's raining. They're angry because the sun's out. They're angry because they got all red lights going on Route 30. And then they're angry because they got all green lights. Anybody know that person? Don't look at anybody, okay? They're angry, all right? So recently, I was going through my family as a kid, that family photo book, and I'm just looking at the cute little babies. I was such a cute little baby, you know. And then we had a total of six kids, and I'm looking at this one particular person in my family that I grew up, and every picture, by the time they're about, I was trying to remember, like 10 or 12 years old, something like that, they're angry. They're in every picture, they are angry. At 10, 11, 12, and all the way up, they're angry. And I thought, wait a minute, we grew up in the same house, we had the same parents, and I have never met an angrier person. And I'm looking at these pictures going, arr, arr, arr. Now, that particular person, one of my sisters, did meet Jesus. And there was a change. There really was. All right. So it's interesting when you run across that person, they're always angry. You're like, what? So now I have another story. And I am changing the names. You don't know who they are. And don't even waste your brain energy, okay? But I know these pastors, and they're actually sister churches. One is on the, I would say, the West End and then the East End. And years ago, every Thanksgiving time, they would play flag football. Okay, flag football, one team against the other team, okay? And I'll just say, Pastor Sam's church, he had hired his brother to be the youth pastor. And his youth pastor, Joe, had been saved for like about 6 years. He'd already been to Bible school, been saved about 6 years. And then we've got Pastor Harry's church. So we got Pastor Sam and Harry's church, and it's Thanksgiving, and they always play this flag football game. And by the way, the youth pastor, what'd I call him? Did I give him a name? Oh, whatever. Okay, Joe. Okay, so I'm trying to remember the names because I don't want to say the real names. So youth pastor Joe, he used to play. He was really good. He used to play football in high school. So he's pretty good. Oh, and by the way, you know, when the true churches decide to play this, it's all the young bucks that show up for this, okay? Because us that got smarter thought this is dangerous, okay? And I'll tell you why. Okay, so here's all the young bucks on Pastor Sam's church and Pastor Harry's church, and then we've got the youth pastor with Pastor, what'd I say? Sam's church. Okay, and he used to play football. He was pretty good. And on the opposing team, I'll just say that, the other team, they've got this guy who plays football in college, and he's the quarterback. So the game starts, and they're doing this and doing this, and then something happened between the quarterback and the youth pastor, like something. And the next thing you know, the youth pastor, Joe, slams into the quarterback, and he's on the ground, quarterback's on the ground, and he's saying words over him. And it wasn't, bless us the Lord, okay? But it wasn't cussing. It wasn't cussing because he went to Bible school. It wasn't cussing. So the rest of the game, they're doing this. Now, wait a minute. Didn't I tell you what kind of game they were going to play? Flag football. Okay, but it was like these two are just knocking and slamming, okay? The game's finally over. Everybody goes home because they're going to eat turkey. And then the pastor, Sam, who is the brother, not only is the senior pastor, but he's the brother of the youth pastor, Joe. He calls him up on the phone, and he goes, I have never been so embarrassed in my life. What were you doing? You need to get on the phone and call that quarterback, and you need to apologize. Your behavior was nothing like Jesus. And he goes, well, I wasn't Jesus. He goes, you know, a little sass mouth here. Nobody's sassy. Okay, so he calls him up, and he's like, you know, I don't think I've ever apologized to anybody in my life. So he calls him up, and he apologized to the quarterback, and he says, you know, man, I'm really sorry. I was really just kind of losing and getting rough and saying things. And the quarterback says, yeah, me too. So, end of story. All right, so here, why did I say that? You may think you've got your anger under control, okay? But there's times it'll come up, and man, bam, right? Don't raise your hand. So let me tell you this. Anger, there's a whole list of the big, the bad, the dirty, you think. In Galatians 5, they're called the works of the flesh. Everybody say works of the flesh. It's not this thing, not this kind of flesh. It's your human nature, okay? There's a whole list, and you know where anger's in that. Anger's in the list of that yucky list, all right? So listen, you have to, the Bible uses this term, because I'm going to change it a little bit. The Bible says you have to crucify your flesh, which means you have to put it under, okay? I don't care if you think you're going to cast it out and pray in tongues the whole time. Now, I would love to tell you, but you are responsible for your flesh, your anger, and you have to put it down. Everybody say, put it down. So you have to put it down. If you don't put it down, it's going to cause you a problem. It's going to cause you a problem. So listen, every time, every single day, when you wake up every single day, you're going to have an opportunity for that flesh to rise up, and you need to crucify it. You need to put it down. Everybody say, put it down. Yeah, you do, okay? If not, don't play flag football. End of story, okay? And I did talk to this guy, and he goes, I don't play that anymore, because, yeah, I'm the youth pastor here, all right? All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, 22, 23. This is where Jesus is talking, and he's going to say, we already read it, so he has said three things on how you treat other people. He writes three things on how you treat other people. The first thing, he says, if you're angry with your brother or sister in the Lord without cause, you shall be in danger of judgment. Now, we found out it literally doesn't say that. It simply says, if you become angry with a person, okay, you just got a problem with anger, right? You become angry, you are in danger of judgment. What? It's just anger. Don't you love when someone starts that sentence? It's just. No, he says, it's just. If you have a problem with anger, you're in trouble, basically, okay? So why did I tell you? Deb, we're praying here. You get it, girl. Okay, so why did I tell you all of those stories? Because the Bible will tell us how to control it, and you have to put it under here. So let me ask you a question. How many times... Well, you should ask me questions. Pastor D, how many times have you ridden on 83 or 695? I love those fast roads. And you just got so angry, you went into a crazy road rage and drove somebody off the road. Zero times. Really? Zero. I do know somebody that did that, though. Okay, how many times, Pastor D, how many times were you in this big meeting and you got so mad at somebody, you just rah, ripped their hair out and smashed their face in the wall? Zero times. And it's not because I'm perfect. Because let me tell you, there are times I feel like ... Right? So, and you're just like me. Oh, you're looking all so sweet and innocent. I know. I've driven in the car with you. There is one person I will never drive with anymore. I don't care. Okay. Not Sherry. No. Okay. So there's things in here that start happening, okay? And you can hide it. Okay, but you got to deal with it. Okay, if not, you're gonna be as angry as the devil, and you're gonna do stuff. Okay, so what I'm saying is, and what Jesus is saying, you can have this here, but you still have to deal with it. Okay, you still have to deal with it. All right, open up to let's do something in the New Testament. Where did I write down? Oh yeah, Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, all right? Say, yes, I got there. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Oh, goody, I get to be angry. What's the last part say? And don't sin. So be angry and do not sin. Ready, the next part. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Okay, you know what that means? The sun comes up and the sun goes down. In that one, that whole day, you have to get it together, right? In one day, from the sun coming up to the sun going down, do not lay your head on the pillow until you get this right. Right? All right? That's a good one. Okay. So, how do we deal with sin when we're angry? Well, how do I deal? This is sin to be angry. How do I deal with it? Okay, well, I'm just going to tell Miss Deb. Yeah, I'm going to tell her why I'm so mad at so-and-so and what they did. Okay, and then it's going to fester because, you know, the more I tell somebody, you know, let me tell you my story again. This thing starts growing, okay? So this thing is inside of me. And listen, I haven't killed anybody yet. Period. I should say period. Okay. But Jesus says, listen, the words out of your mouth, you have just murdered. Okay. And he wants you to get rid of that. Why, this is a shouting service today. Okay. Now, how many of you have done this? Well, like I've done this. How many of you have ever gotten angry, okay, and you said stuff, and then you're like, oh, I wish I never have said that. Anybody ever do something happen and you did something? Or and then you're like, oh, man, I wish I'd never did it. Okay, we all did. Yeah, well, good, good. All right, Matthew 18. Turn to Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. First one that says, I found it, you get the first piece of cake. All right, Matthew 18, 15. Oh, this is a goodie. Moreover, by the way, this is Jesus again. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, or we could say, because in this context, if you're angry at your brother, if you got anger going on, okay? Go, so your brother sinned, you know, and now you're angry. Go tell him his fault between you and him. Right? Alone. Everybody say alone. Yeah. Pastor D, I know. Okay, alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. So somehow you lost a brother. Something happened. Words were happening and you lost your brother, okay? Okay, so you lost the relationship and Jesus says, go talk to your brother. You had this. Okay, somehow we're not talking it. He says, go talk to them. Now, he didn't say go text him. Because when you text, number one, if you're talking really fast and you think it printed it out the right way, and all of a sudden you have a beep word in there, you're like, whoa. But really, he says to go talk to them alone. Just you two. Go talk to them, all right? All right? Because talking to each other, You got face to face, and you know it's going to be gooder. It's going to be gooder. Now, listen to this. It did not say to call them. He said, "Go talk to them." Guilty. I'm sorry. I'm working on. I preached myself this, and I was like, "Gosh, Lord." All right. So, don't text. Don't call. Go talk to them. And then, by the way, he did not say, write an email. Dear Pastor D, I just wanted to tell you. Didn't say you write an email. And how many of you know that you write page after page after page in this email? I just want to tell you, I'm not reading it. Sherry's beef with me on this. You got to love me. Okay, I'm a bullet point person. Bump, bump, bump. I am what? The cliff notes, okay? Now, I'm only kidding. I make Sherry read them if they're that long. Okay, so verse 16, we're at Matthew 18, now we're verse 16. So the first one is you've got this anger going on, you go talk to them, okay? Verse 16, but if he will not hear, take one or two more that by the mouth of two, this is old covenant part here, but by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Okay, so they're not listening. You went to them, you two went to them and talked to them, and they're not listening to him. He says, take a friend. Don't take a gossiper. Take a mature, solid person. I know, all right? So watch who you take. Take them, and you go, and you sit, you two of you go, and you're not there for the slaughter. Come on. You're going to what? Win a friend. Okay, so you go talk to them. Well, Pastor D, what happened? They don't listen to me, they don't listen to him. Well, probably somebody else has probably talked to them and they're not listening. So that's all right. You did the first part and you did the second part. All right, verse 17. Here's the third part. Ready? If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. I believe, as I've researched this, it's not tell it to the church. It says tell it to the leaders, okay? This little group here. Tell it to the leaders, all right? But if he refuses to hear the church or the leaders, tell him, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Okay, they were considered the slime ball of the earth, okay? So that's how you consider them, all right? story. Years ago, this happened. It's probably like the first 5 years we were we started YCF, and this couple came to our church, and they're like, "Oh, I'm so glad your church is like this. This is so nice. Not like our church, other church, or the church we just left, basically." And I was a little bit curious, and I was like, "Oh," but I really wanted to know, "Oh, what happened?" Okay, so they filled me in. All right, they said, "Well, at our other church, if you sinned, got caught in sin or sin, you had to go and tell everybody at the church what your sin was." I know. Okay. Because they took that scripture out of context. And we know situations like that. It's heartbreaking. Can you imagine me? Okay, I'm going to grab Brian and Brianna. Brian and Brianna, I'm picking on y'all. Come, Brian and Brianna, they have something to tell you this morning. Okay, and they have to tell you their sin. Okay, aren't you glad you go to a church that doesn't do that? Because we're a Bible-believing church, and that is taking a scripture totally out. Okay, and it's very damaging. Because last time I checked, I have sinned a few times. Okay, and I don't want to, you know, okay. Now, I was raised in a church, which we all know, and some of you were too. So, can you imagine you had to go tell everybody your sins? Okay, so I was raised in a church where you had to tell your sins. You'd go into this little room, and you'd go through the curtain, and you'd sit down, and then there's this thing between you and this guy on the other side, okay, and the thing would go, and you had to tell that person your sins. You had to do it once a week. Some of you had to go every day, but so you had to tell that person, and guess what? I lied. I'm not telling you. Two reasons. You know, one, I was like, well, if I don't say all of them, which I can't remember, so I better make up some so he doesn't think I'm lying about lying. You know, just insanity. Okay, oh, sorry. Shh, delete that. Okay. Some of you would go in there and tell him your sins. He'd be pressing 911. You better get this person. He just told me he did this. No, not you guys. Okay. So, I loved it when I came to Jesus and I found out I could go to him and tell him my sins. Amen. All right. So, I just want to say this. Everything that we're going to say today, you know, religion gets smushed in there and it just gets whacked. It just gets weird. And they say, you have to do this. And you're like, what? Okay, what? And you know, come on, let's say, religion's stupid. I know some people think it's a bad word, but religion's really stupid, okay? My little kid, my little kid says, you're not allowed to say that, Amy. I'll say, oh, I think I know the word. Okay, and Jesus did not like religion. He hated religion, and the religious people hated him, okay? And he wasn't too nice to them either, okay? So, but you know what he did love? He loved people that were sinners. He loved people who are sinners. He loved you and I. And I am so grateful. Amen. All right, that was just a side thought. Let me see. All right, I'm gonna talk about raca real soon because some of you are rocking out trying to figure out what it is, but I'm not telling you yet. Just hang in there, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians 4, 27. I need a sip here, okay? Ephesians 4, 27. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to this church. Don't give place to the devil. Novel idea. I like that. Don't give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no more, longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Okay, this is where I want to get to. Verse 29, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth. Oh, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearer. Okay, so if somebody has done something wrong to you and you are flipping angry, just like, and you're telling everybody how angry you are, how mad you are, what they did, okay, that is not edifying. It is not building up, and that's what he's talking about. Now, you might say, well, Pastor D, you know, when the rubber meets the road, I am going to tell people how mad I am. Well, let me tell you, when the rubber meets the road, you're supposed to go to God. Everybody say, go to God. Go to God. Yeah, okay. And let me tell you something. Yeah, you can tell God you're mad. You can tell him you're angry. Number one, he's been watching you. Right? Right? Okay? And God's not, oh my gosh, she just admitted she's angry. As a matter of fact, he wants you to go to him because then he can start working with you. Okay? Verse 30, here we go. Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The day you asked Jesus Christ in your life, you got a package deal. The Holy Spirit moved in and lives on the inside of you. Everybody say, I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. All right. Now, you have two options. Option one, you can just let him who lives inside of you lay dormant. Just lay dormant. Or you can have him active on the inside. You can say active or dormant. Yeah. Now, when he's active, there are times I have grieved the Holy Spirit by what I said, by what I did, okay? So what I do, because I let him be active in my life, I know, and then I'm just going to say, I sinned. Okay, by the way, back up, Bible 101. We do not pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father God through Jesus. But I can talk to the Holy Spirit. Okay? And because he's going like, you're angry, you shouldn't have said that. And I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, you're right. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I know I quenched you. I know I've grieved you. Okay? All right. So verse 31, moving along. That was just a freebie. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger. Anger. That's what Jesus was talking about. And it's in here. Okay? Let all bitterness, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Be put away from you. So, let's see. Put away means to strip it off. Just take your coat off. Right? So here. There's some stuff that I need to just put it off. Take it off. All right? I need to do that. Now, by the way, as parents, you have a job to train your kids. Just don't wait till you bring them over here, all right? You start training them and saying, hey, that's not pleasing behavior. That out of your mouth, okay? But for you and I, all the big kids, here we go. Let's do verse 32. Oh, this is solution. This is the solution. Ready? Be kind to one another. All right? Be kind to one another. You know, sometimes I think people think after they're a Christian, they don't have to be kind or tenderhearted. You do. So be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. All right. Forgiving one another. All right. Has anybody ever done something to somebody and you're like, come on, man, please forgive me? So think about reaping and sowing. If I forgive, then I'm going to get some forgiveness back. If I forgive somebody, I want to get forgiveness back. All right. So we're talking about three things Jesus said on how to treat people. Here's our second one. It's found in Matthew 5:22. I'm just going to read this part. Whoever says to his brother, everybody say, raka. All right, shall be in danger of the council. Okay, you take notes. What does raka mean? Ready? Okay, ready? I think most of you didn't say this today. Ready? Here we go. You brainless idiot. You empty-headed numbskull or fool. All right? That's the Greek. I didn't make this up. Matter of fact, I got... there's one of those words in there. I'm like, what? I got to work on that. That one called idiot. I'm working on that one, okay? So did anybody say raka to somebody today? You brainless idiot, you empty numbskull or fool? Okay. Bible scholars say that raka, brainless idiot, da-da-da-da-da, is the kin word to cussing. It's just like cussing. Everybody say cussing. Yeah. All right. Proverbs, open up to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18:21 is going to tell you the impact of your raka. I'm going to tell you what raka, the impact it has, those words, ready? Because listen, we got this anger, and here's what happens. I am so angry at somebody, and then I haven't murdered them, period, not yet, just period, okay? But I'm going to do something with my mouth, all righty? And Jesus is going to come along, and he's going to raise the bar, and he says, you shouldn't be calling somebody you brainless idiot, numbskull, or whatever, right? Okay, Proverbs 18:21, words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. All right. So, words are powerful. Your words are either going to just be healing words, comfort words, or they're going to be painful words, right? Your words can bring comfort or your words can bring pain, right? So, words are powerful. Raka. Here's another definition. Well, it goes on. Raka also means something that you would be doing to hurt the soul of the person you're talking to. You hurt the soul of the person you raka to. Okay. So, anybody hear of verbal abuse? Anybody a victim of verbal abuse? That's a raka. You have hurt the soul. And I, you know, Pastor Sherry and I counsel people that have come out of situations of verbal abuse, and they may look like this, but inside there's scars because those have hurt the soul. So we don't want to raka, right? So here's the thing. If you're angry all the time, you're angry. You're like, you're the meanest person. You're just angry all the time. You are hurting the souls of the people around you. So I grew up in a house. My dad was a functioning alcoholic. He had a great job, worked in New York City, took the bus, came home to Jersey and stuff. But by the time he'd stop at the bars on the way home, and then he'd just be at the dining room table, and you never knew. But a lot of times he was so angry, and he would say things. It was hurtful. And it has taken years to go, that's not good, and that's normal. So listen, if you've got a problem with that anger, it's time to go, God, I have a problem. I need your help, and I'm asking you for that, and please forgive me in Jesus' name, because your words can hurt the souls of people, right? Amen. I know that's not the happy place, but it's the true facts here. Turn over to James. We're talking about our words. James chapter 3. So Jesus says, your anger's like murder, all right? And you know, you're going, you numbskull, you idiot, and your words, okay? Listen to what James says. James chapter 3, verse 10. No man can tame the tongue. Did you notice it said no man? So do you think Jesus can tame your tongue? Do you think he's capable of helping you out? Yeah, okay, I do. I've watched him do it in my life, and he's still working on it, all right? Okay, verse 8. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With your tongue, we bless God the Father and Father, and we curse men who have been made in a similitude or the same as God. Okay, verse 10, and out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be. Words, okay? Then 1 John 4, give you one more on words. 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, that's that anger, that real, hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, John, thank you for being so blunt. He's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he can see, how can he love God who he cannot see? All right, so Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus is saying you can murder somebody with your words, right? And then he's going to raise it, he gets the bar even higher, and he says you can't even be angry. You can't even be angry at people, okay? And you can't say I have a right. You know what they did? No, you can't be angry, period. End of thing. Okay, and then, okay, he says you can't call person raka, you idiot, you fool. You numbskull, whatever you want to say, he says you can't do that, all right? Okay, number 3, and then he says this, Matthew 5, 22, this last one, all right? Whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. What? I know. Guess what fool means? You godless moron. You godless moron. What? So here's what happens. You start with murder. Check, I didn't do that. And then we got this anger thing, okay? And he takes it and he says, you can't be angry. You know, don't say raka, don't say names to people. And then he says, this is what he says when he said fool. Don't, when you say you fool, you are judging some person's heart. When you call a person a fool, you are judging their heart, okay? Can I just say moron? I won't say godless. Can I just say moron, Lord? I have these conversations with God some days. And he goes, no, this is the level. Come on up here, he says. So we're not to say things where we judge people's hearts. You fool. Man, no way. And Jesus starts teaching and he says, hey, murder begins in the heart. So we got to get rid of this anger, all right? So I'm pretty sure nobody here is going to go murder somebody. Amen. I know you're not, okay? But how about we don't let this stay inside of us and we just get rid of it, all right? In a couple minutes, in about 10 minutes, in 6 minutes, okay? In 6 minutes, I'm good. And that clock's never right. I'm always doing good. All right. I'm going to give you all an opportunity where you can go to God and say, Father, I am sorry. I have been angry. I've been angry with my words. I've been saying wrong things, okay? But turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. I'm going to read this again. Oops, here we go. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if you bring your gifts to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, okay? And then come up afterwards. So this, here's what he's saying. Go get it right. Go get it right. So, in other words, don't go do your spiritual thing. I'm so spiritual, I say this. No, you got to go get this right with that, the person that you've got this going on, this anger, all right? Okay, verse 25. Agree. Come to terms with your adversary quickly. While you are on the way with them, lest your adversary delivers you to the judge, and the judge hands you over to the officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. I surely say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid your last penny. Okay, some of you are in the prison of anger. Some of you are in the prison of anger. You're just so angry. I'm angry. They did me wrong. I am so mad at them. I am fuming at them, all right? You're in prison. That is not a good place to get. So forgiveness, listen to what forgiveness means. To release somebody. I like this one. To release them and let it go. So if you're in prison with your angry, it's time to release them and let them go, all right? So this is where you go, God, I'm going to release them. I'm going to let them go. I'm going to forgive them. And you know what the other word for forgiveness is? This one, this is like the kicker. Ready? To treat the guilty person as though they've never sinned. Wait a minute, you were such a snot to me, and you said this, and you hurt me, and you hurt my family, okay, God, I forgive them, I release them, I let it go as if it never happened. Whoosh. Talk about Jesus taking up to the big level, all right? All right, so when you forgive somebody, you go, okay, God, I forgive them, I release them, okay? So if I do that, then I'm letting go of anger. Everybody say, let go of anger. You just got out, what's that? Pass, go, get out of prison. You got out of jail. Amen? All right? So God will help you. You know, he will help you to release and to pray and forgive here. All right? So we saw the progress. Ready? First, you're in anger. Okay, it's in your heart, okay? And then you start saying things out of your mouth, raka, raka, raka. And then you're the fool, you start judging people. And God says you're not allowed to do that. Guess who's the only person that gets to judge people's hearts? God. Yeah, he did not make you God. I was in not a great place. I said that to my husband one time. What do you think, you're God? I was kind of rocking it there, so anyway. Last scripture. This scripture, there's a principle, and you've heard this scripture lots of times, okay? But this is the real deal, okay? This scripture has a lot of principles, and a lot of times you'll hear it about giving finances, but this is the real deal, okay? That is a principle that goes with it, but here we go. Luke 6:35. Next person that gets a piece of cake, say, I'm here. Ready? Luke 6:35. Ready? Love your anybodies. Enemies. Gosh, I think I need a piece of cake. Love your anybodies. Jeez Louise. I'm 70. Love your enemies. Anybody got some enemies? Listen, he says, love them. Do good to them. Bake them a pie. Have a party. Bless them. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Wow. Some of you have a hard time being kind to the wicked, right? To the unthankful. They're so unthankful. You got them in your heart. He did it. Okay. Jesus says, be kind to them, all right? Let's jump over to verse 36. Ooh, I love this part. Turn the page. Okay. Oh, wait, went too far. Verse 36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. He starts doing sowing and reaping. Be merciful, right? And your Father will be merciful to you. Don't judge and you won't be judged. I like that. Okay? Do not condemn, and you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. All right. So Jesus is training his disciples on this, and we are his disciples. All right. So how do I be great in the kingdom of God? Well, I'm not going to allow anger to come spewing out of my mouth. I'm not going to rocka. I'm not going to call you a numbskull or an idiot. Okay? And then I'm not going to judge your heart by what you did. I'm not judging people's hearts, okay? God did not make you judge and executioner. Some people think, well, I have that ministry. You do not, okay? All right? So God judges the hearts, all right? And then verse 38, here we'll wrap up. Give, and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use will be measured back to you. In other words, if you show mercy, what are you going to get back? If you show forgiveness, what are you going to get back? Woo, you got it. Okay, so here's what I want to do. Just get real quiet. Just take a moment. Close your eyes. Don't look at anybody. No pointing, no writing messages. Okay, ready? If you're here and you would say, I've been angry. I am so angry at that person. I am just angry what they did, all right? This is the perfect time to say, Father God, help me. Lord, help me, okay? I'm asking you first to forgive me, all right? And besides, anger doesn't look good on Christians, right? It doesn't look good on you. You are supposed to look like the good news, not the bad news, all right? So if you're here right now and you've got this anger going on, okay, it's time to get it right. It's time to get it right. So here's the question. Who do you need to forgive? Some of you are like, Pastor D, thumbs up. But maybe you're here and you just say, God, forgive me because I've been angry. God, forgive me. I've not forgiven so-and-so. I've been angry. Let me tell you something. This blew me away. Jack had passed away about 6 years, and there's a knock at the back door at the church, and this lady comes in, and I knew who she was, and she says, I just want to tell you that I have been angry at Jack, and I forgive him. You held on. I didn't say that to her. You held on to that long? Come on. Sun up, sun down. All right? Sun up, sun down. So you might be, all right. So go, God, I've been angry. I ask you to forgive me because I've not forgiven this person that I've been angry with. I forgive them right now. I release them. I let them go. I am not going to hold this in my heart anymore. I say I have a clean heart. So here's the thing. Is there somebody that you need to say that to? Say, Father, I release them. I let it go. I forgive them. So this is a little, I want to encourage you. So you can forgive that person right now. It doesn't mean you jump back on the bandwagon of best buddies, because there's been things that have happened that it's not a safe place to go back to, okay? But we just get our hearts cleared, and we let God deal with them, right? We just let God deal with them. All right, everybody just, you know, that's that scripture, search my heart, O Lord. Is there anybody that I have held anger and unforgiveness, Lord? I just release them. I forgive them. I am not an angry person. I am a loving person. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. One more thing. It's my favorite part of the whole service here. Ready? Someday we will all stand before the Lord. And I will stand before him on the judgment because you did not receive him. And then we'll stand, the rest of us stand before him because I have received him. That's the thumbs up side. And the Bible says there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That means that's the place you don't want to go. So I don't ever try to scare anybody into this, but I really want to ask, is there anybody here and you have never said, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner and I need my forgiveness. Because he came to be the love and the light and the forgiver of everything, okay? But it starts with saying, Jesus, I need you. So if you're here today and you have never said, Jesus, come into my life. You've never had a personal relationship. Can I tell you, today is the day of salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You'll be a child of God, sins washed away. Matter of fact, our sins have, we just have to receive them. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor D, I've never done that, and man, I'm ready. Would you just raise your hand? No one's looking around, just me. Just me. Anybody? Okay. Anybody say, today, I would like to receive Jesus. He's standing at the door knocking at your heart. And you just have to say, come on in. Okay, anybody? All right. Praise God. All right, eyes up. Everybody's good. All right, I know this was like, woohoo, great message, Pastor D, anger, murder, okay, but those are those little things we want to keep our heart clean. So we have cake, and if you have children here, you can bring them up, okay, and we'll have cake for them, all righty, but I love you, thank you so much, and anything else I'm supposed to say? After they eat, can I have cake? All right, you can have cake first. Okay, we love you. Let's have some cake. If you'd like prayer, yeah, about anything, we'd love to pray with you. Anybody would like prayer?